Welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Yeah, switching it up.
You are switching it up.
Well, it's Friday of our second pipeline week.
We got to switch it up.
We have done a lot of podcasts this week, which has been awesome because we've had a chance to talk to a series of pretty remarkable leaders, and we will get to hear from them again in a couple months at the Pipeline Conference, which is why we're doing this week, because we want to give you, dear listener, a chance to hear conversations with people who will be on stage speaking at the Pipeline Conference October 12th, 13th, 14th in Nashville. I almost forgot the dates and I've said them.
It's really the 13th is like the golden day, but we've added days.
When, yeah, we should probably explain that.
We should add.
It's not a 3-day conference where you need to block out that much time plus travel.
No, the conference itself is on the 13th, and we originally had one extra coaching day
on the
14th. And what happened was that sold out. And then we expanded it, and that sold out. And then we had to add Wednesday, and that's starting to sell out. So we added more on Wednesday and more on Friday. So if you are thinking at all about going to the conference and the coaching day, if the coaching day is where you're at, you better go ahead and move fast. But the discount does apply to the coaching day as well.
The discount, which we've highlighted in previous episodes, use the code 5LQ at checkout. So myleadershippipeline.com is the conference site. You register, use the code 5LQ, and it's a 20% discount off of both the main conference and coaching days. So a quick word about the coaching days. In that context, there will be rooms of between 30 and 50 people.
Yep.
With a member of our team. So myself, Todd, Kevin Spratt, Daniel M., all of whom you've heard on the podcast, walking you through the developing a leadership pipeline process for your church. So ideally you come as a team, at least a number of your team, whoever you can come with. Although if you come by yourself, there's still a lot of value in it. It's not exclusively for teams. We've had some people ask. We will spend pretty much all day. So about 9 to noon, break for lunch, come back from, 1 to 3 or 1 to 4. And so a pretty intensive time with a lot of interaction, a lot of walking you through some different activities, different processes to gauge where you're at, where you need to go, and what steps you need to take to get there. That's really the gist of it.
Yeah, you're guaranteed to walk away with significant homework.
Yes.
Which doesn't always sound exciting, but if you've got tracks to run on. Well, yeah, but if you've got, templates and tracks to run on, then it's homework can be fun. If some of the work is already done.
Yeah. So this is the kind of thing you get to take back to the rest of your team and help implement across your church. We have resources and we'll actually give you some of those to help you do that. We can come do some consulting for your team, those kind of things. So if you're there at the coaching days, you'll hear all about that. Then the 13th is our main conference day when you will hear each of these speakers. So we had Tom Rayner, we had Paul Tripp, we had Jenny Catron, we had Carrie Newhoff. And now today we will be talking with, I won't actually be talking with him. Todd will.
Yes.
Because I have to be out of town shortly.
Wah, wah.
But I'm burying the lead because the guest is Tripp Lee.
Yeah.
And Tripp Lee is somebody you may have heard of.
I'm not that cool, but he is.
If you're a hip hop fan, he is a recording artist, a pretty successful one with Reach Records. So that's the label that Lecrae helped start, and they have a number of very successful artists. He's also been a pastor. He served at Capitol Hill Baptist Church, where Mark Dever is, and has been elsewhere. He's a phenomenal speaker. I got to hear him. Where did we hear him last? Was it Catalyst Conference?
I think it was.
And, this is not to disparage his artistry at all, but he may be a better speaker than he is a rapper. That's a compliment of his speaking, not an insult of his music. And so he will be one of our closeout speakers at the conference, so one of our evening session speakers, talking specifically about making disciples and leading in culture and things that he is passionate about and exceptional at. So we're looking forward to this conversation coming up in a moment. I look forward to listening to it because I won't be able to be part of it. Todd looks forward to having it.
Yes.
And you, listener, will definitely benefit from it. And before we jump to that, I want to highlight his book, Rise. It has been out for about a year. Really good book. Tripp is a great writer, great communicator. It's not just a series of sermons in a book. It's a very encouraging, exceptional book. So you should check out his book, Rise. And again, before we jump over there, go to myleadershippipeline.com, Use the code 5LQ to get your 20% discount before the end of the month if you want maximum discount, but it is good through the end of August. Do so. Invite your friends. Bring your team. We would love to see you at the Pipeline Conference in a couple months. Now, here's Triply.
Welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Todd Adkins, and I am sans Barnabas today. Once again, don't be alarmed. I have the illustrious Kevin Spratt here with me.
What? I got to take Todd's intro. I just took his intro.
Okay, that can be for the... Fine. But more importantly, we have a wonderful guest here as part of Pipeline Week. It is Triply. And he is a pastor at Cornerstone in Atlanta. He's the founder of Built to Brag. If you don't know that, check that out. It's especially in connection with young adults in the church and various other things that are very important to our culture today. So just check that out. More than anything, though, right now he's got out an album called Rise and also a book called Rise that go together well. And you'll want to be able to look at those as well. I would love for you to take an opportunity to tell us a little bit more about yourself, Trip.
Now, do you want the 30-second version? Or do you want the?
You can take as long as you'd like.
I don't think you want to tell a preacher that, but
that's true.
The quick version. I grew up in Dallas, Texas. Love Dallas, great place. I grew up with both of my parents in the home, which I was really grateful for. And my exposure to Christianity early on was my parents went to a mega church, Black Baptist church, a church that preaches the gospel. And I heard about Jesus a lot, assumed I was a Christian when I was a kid, and trusted Christ really when I was about 14 years old. I repeated a prayer when I was a little kid, but didn't know anything about who God was or what Christ had done. And then when I was about 14, started going to the youth group because the girls were cute. Pastor preached the gospel. God saved me. And then, you know, it was at that point I started to reevaluate my whole life and all the things I loved. One of the main ones was music. I had already been rapping at that point. And as I started to kind of try to reshape my life around Jesus instead of just myself, it affected my music too. I thought, man, I want to use my music to actually honor God. There was a rap group I was listening to at the time called Cross Movement. And so I learned a lot of what I was doing early on hip hop wise from them. And God linked me up with some guys in Dallas when I was about 16, Lecrae, Tadashi, Sho Baraka, guys who were rapping. They were in college. I was in high school. Nobody knew who any of us were. They discipled me for a season, and I ended up signing a record deal when I was a senior in high school and put out my first album just right after I graduated. And I went to Bible College in Philly, and it was there that being really a part of a local church in a new way as an adult in a new place, saw the priority of the church and what God is doing. And that's where I began to desire to pastor and people began to affirm my gifts. And so, you know, since then, I had been really trying to prepare myself well to pastor while also doing music. And so now I spent some time in D.C. too preparing, and I've been in Atlanta, Georgia for about a year and a half. I came here to help plant a new church called Cornerstone Church in the West End of Atlanta, oldest neighborhood in Atlanta, great neighborhood. And I'm also still doing music, and I'm writing, and I'm doing too many things, hopefully well. So
very good. Well, it sounds like you already have a learning posture and that you've kind of submitted yourself to other leaders along the way. And that's, I think, such a great example for someone who experiences success early in life. So this is an important question for me because you've been successful and you are still young, but you are not as young as you used to be.
Yeah.
And so, how do you continue that learning posture? So our first question is, who are you learning from?
Yeah, well, real quickly, I realize I did not mention my wife or my kids when I just told you about my whole life. So just in case my wife listens to this, I have a wife named Jessica, who I've been married to for 7 years, and two amazing kids, 4 and 2, who take all of my energy. So in terms of who I'm learning from, I mean, you know, in the similar vein, my wife is one of the main people that I learned from. And I'm not just saying that because it sounds nice. My wife is really godly and she's wise and she really does know me better than anybody else. And so when I'm thinking through things, if I'm confused about something, if I don't know what to do in a particular situation, my wife is always really helpful to me. And then that question as a whole is really hard for me because I'm kind of a serial learner. I just really love learning from all kinds of different people. So, you know, so for instance, today, you know, I was reading Jason Meyer's book on the end of the law, and I was learning from him today. And, you know, last week I was reading Henry School, Life of God and the Soul of Man, and I was learning a lot from that. I really do like reading. I was learning from Malcolm Gladwell in his new podcast. I really love reading things and listening to things. And then also probably members of our church. You know, there's so many godly people God has given us. And it's really helpful for me to see and remember all the time that because I'm one of the pastors doesn't mean I'm more godly than everyone else in the church in every area. There are people who are more godly than me in particular areas. And I love to see the ways God is using them and that to challenge me to obey Jesus more in certain areas.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate just the life posture of learning. I mean, I think, in case my wife listens to this, marriage in and of itself is a sanctifying process, and there's so much to learn just about sacrificial grace and just selflessness more than anything else. So I can really appreciate that and just the breadth of learning. So it's huge.
Well, yeah, I don't really know how else I would be able to try to lead well. So the only way I know how to try to lead is to kind of posture myself as a learner like that, because I think it keeps me from assuming I know how to do everything.
Yeah.
And I think I just never prefer to try to do something without trying to learn from people who've already done it well.
Well, and I'll give you a huge kudo. When I heard that you were going to DC to be an intern, I was like, this dude's made it. Like, like what? Like, what in the world? Like, you know, there are people that give their left arm to go, hey, guy's got a record deal. He's got a couple of nominations for awards, and he's going to be an intern? I'm like, I don't know about that. But
well,
I mean,
where he wanted to be an intern, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's huge.
You need to have Dever on the podcast. I don't know how we have not had Dever on the podcast.
Definitely have Dever on the podcast. He's a great interview Q&A person because you get all the quirks of his personality you don't normally get.
Well, I'll tell you one of the most impressive things. I was there for one of the call-ins that they do with people that have come in for weekenders and interns and all that. They do call-ins from time to time. And, you know, I forgot how many people were on the call, but it was an insane number. Mm-hmm. And just to hear Mark take those questions and concerns and deal with them from a pastoral way, a theological way, a personal way. It was a very, very eye-opening experience and a great example to me for someone who is living a well-invested life. And if you look at the size of the church, the size of the church isn't immense, but the impact is. Yeah. And that is something that I think we can all learn from and long for our churches.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, and talking about leadership, you mentioned this and just your life position and posture, which is a good segue into, you know, the second question, which is, what is the main point of emphasis for your leadership, whether that be for your team, for yourself, kind of both? What would you look at it and say, hey, what is it that I've really got to lead through right now?
Yeah, I mean, when I think of the kind of leadership team of our church, we are a year in. There are four pastors at our church. My title's teaching pastor. I share the teaching load with John O, who's the main pastor, the lead pastor. And we're a year in, and that means that there's a lot of things we aren't really doing great yet. I mean, we're just kind of getting going. The main emphasis right now is just kind of evaluating what we've been doing and trying to tweak, you know, in the same way we've just been talking about learning. We want to still be, you know, we want to have these humble hearts that understand that there's a lot of things that we can do better. You know, there's a lot of things we can do better in terms of connecting people with one another, in terms of the emphases of our teaching. We're really trying right now to evaluate and tweak, not being afraid to kind of switch things up if it serves the church better. And the hard thing is, so much church planning material and talks is all about how to make things bigger and flashier and sexier. But when we look in scripture, we would much rather, like you're saying, have things that are deeper and are serving the purposes that God put the church there for. So that's what we're really fighting towards now, evaluating and tweaking, not thinking how can we cram as many people in here as possible, but how can we build into the people that God has entrusted to us as deeply as possible, and how can we reach our neighborhood as well as possible?
You know, I think that's a balance that so many times we struggle with is, you know, leadership development is poetry and plumbing. And yeah. So it is inspiring vision, but it's also the systems and processes that deliver. The big thing, though, is recognizing that it is recognizing that the people are for the process.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, the process is for the people, not the people for the process.
Yeah.
Because it's creating those systems and processes so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel every week, so that we can focus on what the ministry truly is and what leadership really is, which is about our people.
Absolutely.
Oftentimes we'll ask churches when we're talking to them about, you know, hey, take your job description or tell us the top 10 things that are part of your work, and then evaluate those and how many of those things are doing versus developing. Mm-hmm. And it can get very telling really quickly. So I think recognizing that balance is a beautiful thing that you guys are doing, especially year in.
Yeah, well, we're trying, so pray for us.
So what obstacles then are you currently facing in leadership, either again in your organization or personally?
Yeah, I mean, in the church, a lot of the obstacles have to do with this kind of growing pains of being a brand new church. And the thing that I know but still hit me in a fresh way is, and I've been a part of church plants, but not in this particular role, is you do have to kind of graduate to some things, like, you know, your music being amazing for us, our building looking great, you know, different stuff. What you don't have to graduate to is people's sin being horrible. You know, this is just what happens with sinners. We're broken and we have horrible sin. And so a lot of the obstacles are not only trying to kind of nourish and build this new community, but also trying to love and shepherd people through really hard stuff that doesn't like take a little bit of time to catch up. I mean, we don't have to catch up to marriage problems or depression issues or those kind of things. And, you know, just the obstacles that come with finding the best way to really kind of serve this family. And for me personally, you know, with my different things I'm doing with music and books and the church, is for me just juggling all of it and trying to do it well. I'm in this thing where I kind of each season I sit down with my wife and we try to reevaluate how things are going. Am I saying yes to too many things? You know, is this the best use of my time? Are my dreams too high? I'm an ambitious dude. So there's a lot of stuff I want to do that I think will honor God. And my wife is really helpful with me to say no to stuff that I shouldn't do, because I cannot do everything well. And I don't want to do a million things, but not do them very well.
Well, so Walk through that framework really quickly one more time. And then how often do you do that? A lot of listeners want those practical things. I hear practical things from leaders on here all the time. And then, you know, I go home and apply them. And my wife is grateful.
Yeah. I mean, we'll sit down and we'll talk about what was hard, for instance, about the month or two before. You know, it was difficult when we tried to do this, so we didn't really get many date nights, or, you know, I was just so tired. And I have a health issue called chronic fatigue syndrome, too, which kind of makes these things a little more difficult. But in each season, we'll kind of look at what was difficult. We'll evaluate what was good and what wasn't. And we'll try to see if, you know, there are things that are just unique to this season. Like, for instance, we're tired right now because our kids are 4 and 2. There's not really anything we can do about that. That's nope. The age they are.
Benadryl. That's it. Yeah. Sorry. I'm just kidding.
Non-habit forming. Sorry.
And So, I mean, and we'll look back and see, are there particular things that we did to cause this? Is this our fault? And then there are other things. It's just life in a fallen world. Things don't always go well. But we want to kind of reevaluate. Look at the calendar. You know, I often will make mistakes of saying yes to something too far in advance and thinking it's a good idea, but not having good foresight to know it's going to be awful at the time. And so my wife is really helpful as we talk through those things together to help me see things about myself that I don't see. You know, the pride in my heart that doesn't want to say no to stuff, pride in my heart that assumes I can do more than I can, pride in my heart that doesn't want to push myself in certain areas. That's when my wife is really helpful with that.
Well, since we're really talking a ton about family, what does, and this is a huge piece, is what does leadership in your home look like? So you guys are looking at seasons. How do you look at that? So I'm a father of 3, 10 months, 4 years, and 7. So I know the boat you're in. And Todd's in the same boat too. But you know, you travel a lot. You're busy as a pastor. What are some practical things that you guys have looked at in the rhythm of your home? What is and how you lead? I mean, what are some of those rhythms that you can help pastors with that are listening?
In these last few years, one of the things that I think God has really blessed in our home is me really trying to make big sacrifices and be really intentional about getting my wife time that she can have for herself. Because, my wife doesn't work outside the home. She's home with our kids all the time. That's the work she does day to day, is taking care of our kids in the home. And man, that can just be taxing. You don't really get a break from that. And kid 4 and 2, they don't stop talking ever, you know. Like my daughter, who's 2, she doesn't have that many words yet, but she says them over and over again, you know. And so, you know, being able to really find specific ways to get my wife out of the house where she can talk with, I don't know, adults more often, as much as she can. And so, you know, for instance, there are 2 days a week where we pay somebody to come watch our kids for half the day to make sure my wife gets away. And my travel makes this a little bit harder. So, you know, we have to put very specific things like that in place. And there are things that we're kind of reevaluating again with each month and season to see what makes sense. But that's been hugely, I think, good for my wife and also good for my kids and good for our marriage to help be able to do that. And with me telling my wife that I appreciate her with my words, that is helpful and that means a lot. But it means so much more when she can see it very clearly in the way that I go about things, when it's as important as and more important than I treat other things. You know, if I'll plan, schedule, and initiate, spend money, spend time and energy on things that are just to bless her, I think that shows fruit in every single area of our life and our family.
Well, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy.
It's true, man.
Is for sure. And I so appreciate that. I mean, that's something that, you know, with my wife, I know we definitely have 1 or 2 nights a week where, you know, she gets out, man. She gets out, she goes hang out with other ladies, or she goes out and does a Bible study, and committing to that is a huge part of just our overall relationship. One thing we've started doing is date nights become a little shorthanded here recently with the third kid and infants, and we'll feed the kids hot dogs and macaroni at like 6:30 or so.
There it is.
And then they go to bed at like 7:15, and then Val and I have a date from 7:15 to the rest of the night. So cook her dinner and have a date night at home. So sometimes that works out well. Sometimes it doesn't.
And yeah, I mean, I would do that, except I can't cook, so that would please my wife.
Hey, Olive Garden, Pizza Hut.
No way.
Come on. No, there's other ways around that.
That's not true. Right. That's true. That is not right.
So once you have the more, at least for us, with kids, as time goes on, our food standards continue to drop lower and lower.
Yes.
That's a true story. I don't want to move too quickly off the home life, but I do think that you'll have a lot to say on our fifth question. And I think it may even, you know, lead into you talking a little bit about Rise as well. Mm-hmm. But what would you tell your 20-year-old self about preparing to lead? Or advice, you know, general advice, or what would you tell yourself specifically about preparing to lead?
Yeah, well, I mean, like we talked about earlier, one of the most helpful things for me was being able to learn from a lot of people. And I mean, I'm just going to say it again, because I think at any stage in our lives, it's helpful. we should look at people. So, for instance, like a Mark Dever in D.C., it was unglamorous. It wasn't, you know, a sexy thing for me to do. But that's the second time I've said sexy in one interview. That's that's not normal for me, just so you know. You know, I saw things there that I thought, I want God to help me to lead and to love people like that. And then I just put myself around them, you know. So I can't encourage people enough to, whether that's another pastor you lead with, another person you lead with in your organization, an older man or woman somewhere in your life, a friend, you know, just when we see people who have characteristics that will help us to love God more and to lead better, just let's get around them and let it rub off on us. One thing I would do, though, if I was talking to my 20-year-old self, is I would tell me to broaden that sphere of who I learn from. I think it took me too long to learn that I have so much to learn from all kinds of people that I disagree with in a variety of ways. So that I would learn from people who I disagreed with, but it would happen on accident a lot of the time. I wasn't seeking out people who I knew I disagreed with on specific things. So
can you give me an example, that's happened?
Yeah, well, in one area, for instance, with my reading, you know, probably when I was 20, I was only reading Reformed dudes. Where there are things in a specific sphere, there are strengths and weaknesses. And if I'm only learning from one kind of person in my reading, then that means I'm going to miss out on a lot of strengths from other people in the body, or people that I'll build relationships with and spend time with, it, even other pastors. You know, I would tell my 20-year-old self, hey, go hang out with your charismatic brother or sister who you disagree with on some of the ways that they use gifts of the Spirit, but they know Jesus, they love Jesus. You know what? They're more hospitable than you are at your church. They tend to love people in more simple and sacrificial ways than you do. And while you're sitting around thinking about stuff, they are practically serving people and loving people. Man, there's just so many areas, so many things I think I could have learned more quickly if I didn't keep the people I learned from so tight when I was 20 years old.
Yeah, because sometimes we have a tendency to, I hate to use the word demonize, but just we kind of put them in the camp of, well, they don't think this way. I can't learn anything from them.
Yeah.
And that on that side of the spectrum. But man, there is a ton that we can learn from on both sides of the fence. And if, as long as we keep open to those kinds of things.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to encourage people to be discerning in the things that they learn from folks. You know, we want to, you know, measure everything by scripture, of course. But what I just keep learning more and more is, if somebody is indwelled by the Spirit of God, the living God, the same God I know, he's at work in them. And there is a lot that I can learn from them, whether that's in how I think about things or in how I actually respond to them and do them. There's so much to learn, even from people who are not Christians. You know, there are things that they understand better than me. Even if the only thing I understand is why they think the way they think and I disagree, there's still so much for me to learn from there that helps me to love them better and to love God better.
You're not going to learn anything new if you're looking at the same sources as everybody else, especially everybody else in your sphere. And absolutely. The other thing too is, one of the best things that happened to me was, I was a philosophy undergrad in a state school, and I was a student pastor at the time. And you want to talk about an odd duck. that was me. And, the respect that was gained over time, was because I had stuck to it and everything else and defended it. But you want to, If the armor you are wearing has not been tested, it has not been hardened and hammered on, then, you know, it's much more likely to split or be weak or give way when the onslaught comes. And we all come through different points in our life where our beliefs are challenged, whether that's by other people or circumstance.
Absolutely. Well, I can think of times. Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I can think of times when there was something that I believed really strongly, and then I finally heard someone else's actual perspective, not a caricature of their perspective. And I felt like a crisis to me. It was like, oh no, I can't be wrong about this. But then as I look back, I'm like, what are you talking? That one, that didn't matter that much. But also, you know, there was just so much benefit from me being sad for a week but seeing things more clearly than I used to, and also being more charitable with my brothers and sisters. And so I now try to put myself in positions, whether that's in reading or in conversations with people. You know, I've been recently trying to reach out to people that I disagree with, to spend time with them and hear their perspective, let them hear my perspective and build friendships. And man, it's just been so beneficial to me. And, you know, it's okay if my feelings are hurt for a short period of time. If I learn I'm wrong about something, it'll help me to be more faithful if I think about it more clearly.
Well, and it's, you know, the only thing I was going to say earlier was just the fact that, gosh, it's emphasizing that we're all made in the image of God. We all have something. Absolutely. We all have the same common grace to
absolutely to
share, and the same thoughts and ideas that God has given us. He's given some other people different perspectives, and it's the common grace that we share. Am I allowed to ask a sixth question, a bonus question? Since this is the conference,
I was going to, but go ahead.
Mine's probably not as serious.
No, go ahead.
As Todd's is, but mine's more about the conference. So go ahead and.
Well, I was gonna give you an opportunity just to tell us a little bit more about, you know, what the elevator version of what is the album and book Rise about.
Yeah, that's more serious than mine. So let's go with that.
I know
first.
Where you're going. I know where you're going.
Yeah. Yeah, and I should have mentioned this with the 20-year-old self. That was a nice alley-oop you threw me that let fly into the stands. that book was actually, you know, what my heart has been beating for a long time, because Jesus saved me at about 14 years old, and now I'm 28. You know, that is 14 years of me being a really young Christian. And it's hard to follow Jesus at any age or stage of life, but there are unique challenges to following Jesus while we're young. And so I wrote the book to just kind of be a help to people who are following Jesus while we're young. And the main kind of thrust of it is why I call it Rise, is to encourage people not to put off following Jesus till later. You know, it's not like God created you for his glory, but that starts at age 30. And, you know, I compare it to, you know, waking up in the morning and hitting the snooze button over and over again. And you convince yourself, if you just get 5 more minutes, the world would be a better place. You know, we do the same thing with following Jesus. Like, I know I'm supposed to, you know, be pure. I know I'm supposed to, you know, follow God and with my all. But just, Lord, give me 5 more weeks or 5 more months or 5 more years. And, you know, my encouragement in that book was, get up and live now. It's what you were created for. And, you know, you can honor God now and, you know, helping people see that, you know, you just like you're saying, we're all image bearers of God, and you bear God's image right now. I mean, there are very real ways you can honor God in this world, and in some ways more than others, because it's unexpected from such young people. People always used to be so, I mean, I was uniquely weird and nerdy and loved the Bible when I was 16 and 17. But people would just be like, what in the world? Why are you so young? And why do you care about God so much? And it opened up so many doors for cool conversations. And so, you know, that book was to encourage people in that. And the album just kind of, you know, deals with a lot of those same themes, just in more fun ways that bob your head more and may make you jump up and down.
All right. Well, I want to close in prayer now, because that was a really great answer.
It is a great answer. I don't feel like
but
I can answer
my question. Kevin wants to ask you something that's probably more ridiculous in relation to having both you and Paul Tripp.
Well, I mean, you and Paul Tripp are going to be on the same session at the conference. By the way, we are having a little conference in October. Session. You're on the same session, and you get to wrap up the entire conference, by the way. So.
I don't think I was aware of that.
Well, no pressure. No pressure. You know, if there was like a match between you and Tripp and Paul Tripp rapping, I mean, like, who would win?
I think that's not a match. I don't think that's a cage death match or anything.
I think I might have the edge. You know, if we were having a competition based on thickness of mustache or
now,
counseling skills, I think that Paul Tripp obviously has the edge. I could probably out-rap him.
You know, the interesting thing that occurs quite often in life, as we're younger, we find out about old man strength every once in a while. But I think if you look at the way, I mean, you know, his stash is just stellar.
It is.
But I think he may have old man swag.
He does have a old man's way. You know, we've talked on Twitter and online, but we haven't like met face to face. And he seems like he has a cool old man kind of swag to him. And
he
dresses like a hipster sometimes.
He does.
I just need to meet him. I need to know how this happened.
Just the fact that he's hipster when he, I mean, just the bow ties and buttoning all the way up to the top of your collar. I mean, there's just only a few people that can.
I mean, everything, the stuff that he puts together.
Yeah.
I told him, we had him on earlier this week with, and I told him, I said, I want to dress like you when I grow up.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I just hope I can
do that.
So
if you had to put a tagline on a t-shirt, if we put don't be tripping on the back of the t-shirt.
I don't think we can do that. I don't think you can do that.
Look, at the end of the day, my main goal is to ask him for a picture of himself before the mustache. I just need to know what's under there.
He's had it for, I believe, 26 years, he said.
Strong.
No. I think it was 26 years.
That's a man of decision and firmness and confidence.
Yes.
Disciplined.
Very disciplined.
Disciplined.
Well, thank you so much for spending some time with us. We're definitely looking forward to hanging out with you a little bit in October at Pipeline Conference. And we'll be praying for your church and praying for your ministry. And we ask that that you would just do the same for us and our ministry as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to the conference, too.
Hey, we're excited to have you, for sure.